Hello and welcome back to our KPMG FRV podcast, The Sustainability Report. I'm your host, Louise Santa Cruz, and today's topic is Pause, Pivot, or Progress, US Companies and the EU's Omnibus. So the last 2 months have seen a whirlwind of change in sustainability reporting across the US and the EU. And while I don't have a crystal ball, I do have Bryce and Corinne here with me today. Bryce Earhart's an MD in our national office, and he focuses on international sustainability reporting strategy. And Corinne Doherty is the sustainability audit leader for the US, and they are going to help us understand the latest around the influx of sustainability reporting news coming out of the EU and how the recent changes are impacting US companies. In our December podcast, we touched on this topic, but today we're going to do a deeper dive into the omnibus proposal since it came out in late February. As the word omnibus suggests, the sweeping EU legislation has introduced a host of changes and uncertainties that are impacting businesses across the EU and beyond. From new compliance requirements to shifts in market dynamics, the omnibus, which is really only a proposal right now, could reshape the landscape in ways that are challenging and also full of potential. While the omnibus proposes to amend the CSRD, the CSDDD, the EU taxonomy, and CBAM, among other EU directives, today we're going to focus on what changes to the CSRD mean for US companies, how you can navigate this period of uncertainty, and what steps you can take to stay ahead of the curve. Should US companies pause, pivot, or progress? Stay with us as we unpack the omnibus. Welcome back, Bryce, and welcome, Corinne, to our podcast. Bryce, you are such a good explainer of this topic, so I love having you as a guest. The omnibus is far-reaching, so can you help me understand the key changes proposed in the package that most significantly impact US companies? And for the most part, let's focus on CSRD. What's new, what's changing, and what's gone?
Sure. And thanks, Louise, for having me back. I always enjoy chatting with you on all these interesting topics.
Thank you.
So let's start with what's new. So the European Commission has introduced two proposals that are relevant to the CSRD. The first is what's being referred to as the Stop the Clock proposal. And what that's doing is proposing to defer the effective date by 2 years for companies that were scheduled to first complete their CSRD reporting for 2025 or 2026 financial years. Now, most US companies that had subsidiaries subject to the CSRD, they fall into that 2025 wave of reporting. That is sometimes referred to as wave two reporters.
So stop the clock means that they're deferring some reporting deadlines, not that they're stopping anything permanently.
Yeah, that's right, Louise. So this proposal, the stop the clock proposal, it's literally just taking the effective dates for 2025 or 2026 first reporters and pushing the date of their first reporting back 2 years. Now, notably, this does not include a proposed deferral for two other groups of companies that fall into scope of the CSRD. The first group is for companies where 2024 was their first reporting period. Those are sometimes referred to as wave one companies. And that typically will include large listed public interest entities in the EU, which we know there's some US companies that fall into that bucket, but not as many that fall into that wave two bucket. And then the other group of companies that this proposed deferral is not affecting is ultimate non-EU companies that fall into the scope of the CSRD. So these are sometimes referred to as wave four companies. So their effective date would stay the same. So that is first reporting in 2029 on FY28 data. And as we know, many US consolidated parents fall into this group as well. However, there's another proposal that I also need to introduce here. And this proposal is one that is intended to substantively change certain aspects of the CSRD to reduce a company's reporting burden. And the European Commission's biggest attempt at achieving this objective is really through changes to the scope of the CSRD. So there's three different buckets of scope changes that are proposed that I want to talk to you about. The first is for EU companies. It would revise the scoping criteria to limit the scope to large companies with greater than 1,000 employees. There has also been a proposed change in the EU taxonomy scoping. So originally, a company that's in scope of the CSRD would have to comply with the EU taxonomy as well. So CSRD equals EU taxonomy compliance. But under these proposals, a company would still have to be in scope of the CSRD, but they would also have to generate greater than 450 million euros in turnover. So, in order to be in scope of the EU taxonomy, the conditions are proposed to be changed. It originally was just that you had to be in scope of the CSRD, and it's proposed that it changes to being in scope of the CSRD plus generating greater than 450 million euros in turnover. Now, the European Commission has estimated that this would decrease the number of companies by up to 80%. So that's a pretty significant change in scope. The third bucket or the third proposed change in scope that's worth mentioning is for ultimate non-EU parent companies that I referred to earlier. So the proposal here would limit the scope for ultimate non-EU parent companies by tripling the turnover threshold within that scoping criteria from 150 million euros to 450 million euros in turnover.
Are there any changes to the actual standards that they're going to use to report the ESRS?
It's a good question, Louise. So, alongside these proposals, right, the stop the clock proposal and these proposed changes for scoping, the European Commission has not proposed any changes to the ESRSs, which are the sustainability reporting standards that a company would have to report under in order to comply with the CSRD. But what they have done is they've announced their intent to revise the ESRSs to substantially reduce the volume of disclosures. This will likely include the removal of sector-specific standards, and to support the revision or the scaling down of these reporting standards, it's likely that they're going to prioritize quantitative data points over narrative text and other qualitative information. We also know that there's a couple things that will likely remain. So the double materiality concept and framework that overarches the entire set of ESRSs, that would remain. But we know that the European Commission is expected to provide clear instruction on how to apply that double materiality principle. And lastly, we also know that the limited assurance requirements will also remain.
So, Bryce, just to recap, it sounds like a lot of this is really reducing the requirements that exist under CSRD, but I know that's a simplification. And I know we're going to get more specifically into how US companies need to think about the omnibus. But we've said the word proposal a lot. We've been talking about the fact that these are proposals. So, how much is subject to change? Sometimes proposals really don't change at all, but I know that there's a pretty complex process in the EU. So, given the nature of the proposals and also, let's say, the current political environment, what about timing? Like, what's your crystal ball telling you around when we're going to see these changes and the extent to which these proposals could change?
It's a tricky question, Louise, but
I
we'll give
won't
it a
hold you
shot.
to it, but give me your best shot.
For the stop the clock proposal, I would say my crystal ball is pretty clear on this. My personal opinion is that I expect the stop the clock proposal to go through the legislative process pretty smoothly and in an expedited fashion. Everything we're hearing is that the different co-legislators are supportive of it. So what that would probably look like is adoption and approval by the co-legislators sometime in April, and then that would give the member states until the end of 2025 to transpose it. And I'm also not hearing any dispute from member states that would suggest that they would not transpose the stop the clock proposal by the end of 2025. For the substantive proposals, those proposals around scoping that I just summarized, my crystal ball is much less clear, and I would say very cloudy. What I'll tell you what an ideal scenario is, and that ideal scenario is that the co-legislators would work through 2025 in order to come up with some sort of proposals that they're all comfortable with by the end of 2025, and that would give member states until the end of 2026 to transpose those proposals into national law. Now, I personally think that timeline is very optimistic, especially given that it's likely that there will be a negotiation process that happens amongst the co-legislators. And Louise, you referenced the political environment. Even within the different legislative bodies, like the European Parliament, there will likely have to be negotiations that happen. So that will take time. And so whether we see something finalized around the end of 2025, we'll just have to see.
Okay, so that's good information. I'm talking crystal ball. For some reason, I'm thinking magic eight ball in my head, but I guess I'm aging myself. So let's move now more specifically, since you've given us great explanation of what omnibus looks like. Where do US companies fall in the context of CSRD? So kind of remind us where we are now and then post the omnibus proposals. I know you mentioned all these different waves of reporting. Where are US companies in the context of these waves?
Most US companies, Louise, that are subject to the CSRD have multiple EU subsidiaries that are in scope of that wave two reporting that we talked about. So that's first reporting for FY25 in 2026. And in addition to that, US companies can be, and really many are, in scope at their ultimate non-EU parent level as a wave four company. So that is first group reporting for FY28 in 2029. So most US companies have entities that fall into two different CSRD scoping buckets. Now, due to a variety of factors, some of which hopefully we'll be able to talk about a little bit later, many US companies were taking an approach where they would comply with the CSRD through a voluntary consolidated report at their ultimate US parent level. And that first report would be published in time, really, to exempt their in-scope EU subs from their own CSRD reporting obligations. So that would be likely a group report that would be published sometime in 2026. Now, given the omnibus proposals that we've seen, which we know, again, are intended to significantly reduce the scope of companies that have to comply with the CSRD, we are seeing a lot of US companies consider their reporting strategy in light of these proposed scoping changes.
How are they reacting to these proposed scoping changes, assuming, as Bryce said, that the stop the clock proposal passes by the end of the year?
Sure. Well, Louise, first, I want to say thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to be here. So, when I've been talking with clients about the stop the clock proposal, really their first step that companies are taking is reevaluating their scoping to understand how the proposed thresholds might influence their reporting strategy. So, many companies are using their original assessments for scoping that they use to determine if they were in scope with the current CSRD as it stands, but really just increasing the threshold since the way to go about determining scoping hasn't changed. It's just the threshold. So, Louise, that's really the first step companies are taking right now.
Okay, so thanks, Corinne. Presuming a non-EU parent does what Corinne suggests and refreshes their CSRD scoping analysis, and they identify which subs are still in scope and whether their ultimate parent would still be in scope, what's next?
What I would say is, once a company does what Corinne was just mentioning, right, has a good feel for what their scoping looks like based on the omnibus proposals, the next step would be to take that information and consider it in light of its CSRD reporting strategy. So for some companies, they chose or were planning to do a voluntary report at their group level. That was kind of the strategy they were taking. I think this reporting strategy analysis or reassessment, it's an important exercise for companies to go through because the cost-benefit analysis of deploying different reporting strategies is changing.
Okay, so before you go further, I think it's really helpful to use examples. So maybe can we use an example to take this no regret move further? Let's say you're a US company and you're originally planning on a global consolidated voluntary CSRD at the US parent level. And maybe this company has decided to do its reporting at this level partly because it had over 10 EU subs in scope of the CSRD. And instead of producing several CSRD reports throughout the organization, it was going to do one consolidated CSRD report at the ultimate US parent level. So with Omnibus, let's say there's no longer 10 EU subs in scope, there are only four. So after determining the revised scope, would the company reevaluate their CSRD reporting strategy or still move ahead with this with the consolidated report?
So I think that's exactly the question that companies want to be asking themselves. So once they've realized, oh, instead of 10 companies being in scope, I only have four, but my US parent is still in scope at that for that wave four reporting, let me now look at the reporting strategy I was intending to deploy and determine whether or not that's the path I still want to go down. So that is essentially the question that many US companies are thinking through right now. Now, we've been talking about this one scenario where you have a US company that's choosing to do this voluntary compliance at the parent level. I do want to recognize that there are other reporting scenarios that are popping up for US companies. So one of those would be where we have US companies that are applying what is being referred to as an artificially consolidated reporting approach. This is a temporary reporting solution that's available within the CSRD where a company can consolidate only the EU subs that are in scope of the CSRD. Now, what's important is that that reporting relief is only available until 2030. And as we know now, the Omnibus proposals, they are suggesting to defer reporting for certain types of companies. So we see time compression happening here where the artificial consolidated temporary reporting relief is only going to be available for a few years. So companies that were planning to use this reporting relief will also want to consider whether that consequential compression will result in a change in whether they want to actually use that artificial consolidation, knowing that it's a temporary relief that might only be available for a few years.
Bryce, I really appreciate how well you're laying this out. It's incredibly complex. All of the considerations companies have made and now perhaps some of these new considerations under Omnibus. So maybe, Corinne, I can ask you, what are some of the specific factors that companies should be considering as they're reevaluating their CSRD reporting strategy?
Yeah, there are, Louise, several factors. One in which is companies really need to think about if consolidated reporting will help them meet multiple jurisdictional requirements. So such as those as California and the United States, or any of the other jurisdictions that are adopting the international sustainability standards. So in this case, it may be more efficient to report at a consolidated level, for example, for climate metrics, if a company is reporting under California. Companies should also assess the availability of resources and decide if a global consolidated reporting would alleviate any experience and resource needs to report at a lower level. Another consideration is really should companies consider their future target operating model for sustainability reporting, and is it designed with interoperability in mind for reporting under those other regulations and other reporting frameworks that I mentioned? Additionally, companies should also evaluate if a central consolidation, or said another way, a single source of truth, will create efficiencies and consistency in reporting across the organization. So these considerations were initially thought through under the current CSRD reporting, but need to be reassessed as scoping would potentially change under these omnibus proposals.
So I really like a single source of truth because that's a great visual. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk more about what companies can start doing now in light of the uncertainty that the omnibus proposals have brought with it.
Looking for the latest on how EU sustainability reporting requirements, like the new omnibus proposals, are affecting US companies? Visit our KPMG FRV sustainability reporting page for updated hot topics on the omnibus impact on CSRD and CSDDD. A link is included in the episode description. And for our global insights and guidance on the EU's omnibus proposals, check out our ESRS Today pages on the Global Corporate Reporting Institute. Stay informed with KPMG.
So So to recap our discussion so far, we've learned that existing reporting deadlines may be deferred a couple of years for subs of most US companies under these omnibus proposals. And setting aside this proposed deferral, the scope could significantly change, removing many EU companies under omnibus. We also shared some steps that US companies can take now to take stock of how these proposals could impact their compliance obligations and their future CSRD reporting. So let's do our own pivot a little bit, and we're going to learn a little bit more about how US companies are reacting to these omnibus proposals. So are they pausing? Are they pivoting, or are they still progressing on their CSRD reporting?
Louise, I would say it's all of the above based on the conversation having with companies. So initial reaction for some companies was this was a huge sigh of relief when we're talking about getting an additional, potentially additional 2 years of reporting. But for others, there was this kind of frustration for many who have also put so much time and effort into getting ready to report under CSRD. So whether a company chooses to pause, to pivot to a different reporting strategy, or to continue progressing is really dependent on a lot of factors, of some of which I discussed before the commercial break. But based on the conversations that I've been having with companies, what they choose to do is very specific to them as an organization. And I'm finding that most companies are continuing the work that they've started in some capacity, because really it has already become part of their strategy, or they really want to progress and keep the momentum that they've made. Or in another example, it may be costly to unwind or pause what they're doing just to restart in a couple of years.
And maybe I could add a couple of perspectives as well, Louise. So I haven't talked to any US companies that have fallen entirely out of the scope of the CSRD yet. That could also be because for the companies that have fallen out of scope, they just don't want to talk to me anymore. And that's fair.
What?
I know, right? But I totally agree with Corinne here, right? It is an entity by entity analysis that needs to happen. And in my experience, large companies that know they're going to have to do a large amount of CSRD reporting still, they're continuing to move forward in some regard, like Corinne was mentioning. I've talked to some companies that are continuing down the voluntary path that we were talking about earlier. And I've also talked to companies that have said, I'm just so far along that I'm continuing to move forward because I have the budget, I have the resources, so I'm just going to knock this thing out. I've also talked to plenty of companies that have said, hey, there's so much uncertainty right now. I think we're going to continue moving forward at the pace we were going until we get more certainty or more clarity about what does the path look like. I've also talked to companies that have said, because there's so much uncertainty right now, I'm going to pause. So I'm seeing actions coming out of these proposals in a variety of different ways, and how it's ultimately coming to fruition from an impact on like an implementation plan perspective. It really does come down to the company, how risk averse they are, and also just historically how they deal with regulatory uncertainty.
Okay, but let's assume that Stop the Clock is adopted and transposed by the member firms by the end of the year. That will give most US companies an additional 2 years to get ready for their first CSRD reporting obligations if they're still in scope. And it sounds like, as you said, mostly they are in scope. So what can they do with these additional 2 years?
Given the potential additional 2 years, it's reducing the time pressure and resource constraints that were initially on companies at this point. So this is going to allow companies to take a more designed, maybe more measured approach to think about their reporting strategy and to design it in a more efficient and effective way. So really thinking about how do they build out their processes and controls around the data? How do they build out documentation really to show that audit trail ultimately when they get to limited assurance? And so a lot of companies right now are not running around in panic mode like they were before the omnibus. Another point, though, is also refining their voluntary sustainability reporting strategy. So a lot of companies that we've been talking to are already voluntarily reporting some of the metrics that they would have to report under CSRD, not all, but some. And so really thinking through, are they able to make that shift maybe more slowly and figure out how to do it more efficiently to tell their story, and really thinking about whether investors and other stakeholders will continue to expect more voluntary reporting until ultimately they have to start complying with CSRD. And then for disclosures currently made, companies can consider enhancements to processes and controls to improve the quality of data with a little bit of extra time.
And I'd also encourage companies to think beyond just compliance here. So think about this outside of the context of CSRD compliance needs and achieving the compliance needs of other regulatory frameworks out there. I think companies should be thinking about laying out their implementation program, where they are in it, what still needs to happen, and start thinking about prioritizing the different tasks, actions, projects that are incorporated in it, really focusing on identifying areas of that implementation that were intended to support other compliance efforts, plus intended to support other strategic needs, whether those be sustainability strategy needs or other areas of a company's broader strategy. So for example, maybe you are planning to use your CSRD implementation to support the sourcing of like more credible data points to support your decarb strategy. So in that case, you may want to continue moving those parts of the implementation forward, even though you have two extra years.
We've looked ahead, Bryce, at how the omnibus is impacting scoping, how it's impacting reporting strategy, and the level of reporting companies are going to do. And we've talked about whether companies are pausing, pivoting, or progressing based on the conversations that we're having with them. So maybe we can spend a little bit of time talking about what companies can do with the work they've already done. It may already be completed, or it may be well underway. And Corinne, I'm going to maybe think first about the double materiality assessment, or the DMA. And maybe they've done a gap assessment of the existing sustainability reporting they've done versus what ESRS is requiring that they do. Do you have any tips, Corinne, on what companies can do so they don't lose the insights they've already gained?
Sure. First, I'll focus on a double materiality assessment. So a lot of companies have completed or are in the process of completing their double materiality assessment. I would say for those that are in the process of still completing, continue with working towards finalizing your double materiality assessment, because I think that is so critical, not just ultimately for reporting under compliance with CSRD, but for as an organization that helps you identify what are those material topics to you as an organization in terms of setting your sustainability strategy, and not just from a compliance with CSRD perspective. And going through the double materiality process, you get buy-in from various different levels within the organization, as well as leadership, as to these are the areas of focus for you as an organization.
Corinne and Bryce, I really want to thank you so much for taking the time to walk through the omnibus today. There are a lot of complexities that companies are working through, and I know this is going to be really valuable information. So I appreciate your spending the time to speak with me here today. So we're starting a new segment for our podcast, which I'm calling The Bottom Line. Basically, I'm going to spend a few minutes at the end of each episode talking about what my key takeaways were from the conversation, so you can get the updates you need, even if you only have a few minutes to spare. From today's conversation, I think there were four main actions that I took away. Firstly, we provided a high-level overview of the EU's omnibus proposals and chose to focus on what is most relevant to US companies. Omnibus includes a stop-the-clock proposal, which would defer CSRD reporting timelines for most in-scope U.S. companies by 2 years. There are also proposed changes to CSRD scoping, which would significantly reduce the number of EU subs that are in scope for non-EU parents. Non-EU parent scoping changes were also proposed, including tripling the revenue threshold. We encourage U.S. companies to take the time now to understand how these proposals impact you. This is the first step in figuring out whether to pause, pivot, or progress in your CSRD journey. Secondly, we talked about some of the challenges that the new omnibus proposals present U.S. companies. One of the common things we talked about was uncertainty, anticipated timing for when the proposals could be adopted, and whether they will change. especially the proposed scoping changes, continue to be a challenge. Companies also need to reassess their scoping and consider how these revisions could impact their planned future state sustainability reporting process. Thirdly, we talked about how companies can actually benefit from the omnibus. The proposed 2-year delay would provide many companies with a much needed opportunity to take the time the journey actually deserves, from their existing voluntary reporting processes to a compliance-oriented future state sustainability reporting process. This extra time enables a more efficient and effective approach to sustainability reporting. Companies should also consider using this extra time to work on integrating their sustainability reporting with broader sustainability strategy and maybe even with broader strategic objectives. In addition to scoping and reporting strategy reassessments, we lastly looked at immediate steps that U.S. companies can take, what we call no-regret activities. Companies can start by looking at their current CSRD implementation and prioritizing what to move forward with now, and think about what they can pause. As an example, you might consider whether and how to progress with efforts to collect new data that were needed not only for CSRD compliance, but would also support cost-saving strategies with other external stakeholder requests. And if you haven't already, we encourage you to complete your double materiality assessment, your DMA, because you can actually leverage this for other strategic purposes, and it will help you get a good sense of what different stakeholder groups care about, regardless of the deferred timing. So please make sure to subscribe so you can stay up to date on what's going on. We really do appreciate your support. It helps us reach more listeners like you. If you found this podcast helpful, please give us 5 stars. We also have a really great weekly newsletter that you can subscribe to by going to our FRV website. It brings you all of KPMG's thought leadership in one place, and that way you never miss out, whether it's on this podcast or online. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll tune in again for the Sustainability Report.